me and things that I have learned. This afternoon, we could visit and talk and discuss it some more, and we wouldn't get to the end of it. This morning, yeah, I'm going to talk about love. I thought about it when I was preparing this message that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, but you know, even though it's good, it's okay to have a special day where you remember or commemorate the love that you share. If that's the only time that your wife gets some indication of your love, or if that's the only time your husband gets some indication of your love, it's not going to mean much. And I think we need to remember that love is something that we're supposed to be practicing all the time. Love is something that, yeah, maybe the greatest example of love on this earth is between husband and wife. But love is something that needs to go further than that experience. Love is something that needs to be showing forth from our lives, no matter what our relationship is with other individuals. Individuals that we don't know. Do we show them love? We're pretty quick sometimes to have first impressions of somebody. And love is kind of expressed in a way that, you know, I like this person, or this person is an advantage to me, or this person is friendly, or this person is easy to love. But you know, when we get to the point in our lives that we are like, did you say her name was Corey? Betsy. When we see individuals that maybe are cruel to us, or people that we might fear in a normal setting, but we see them as individuals that have a soul. We see them as individuals that have needs. Does our love go out to them? My message this morning is a continuation of the Christian home. And I'm going to be speaking to the wives and the women of the congregation. And I feel a little bit out of place, because I don't have any experience. And I don't know to be blunt, I don't know what it's like to be a woman. And they're created different than us as men, not only physically, but emotionally and so forth. And there's things that I don't understand. I heard some time ago that women are like the book of Revelation. We only fully understand them when we get to. I'm not sure that that's the case. But longer ago, I heard this statement, that the Bible never says that a woman is to be totally understood, but a woman is to be loved. And I think we need to remember that. And I know when we talk about wives in the home, we talk about submission. And I will be touching on that. But the woman has a place God ordained. And I want to say at the outset of this message that I think one of the reasons, maybe not 100%, but one of the reasons that in the world today, and especially in our nation today, we see women getting out of place is because the man wasn't filling his place to begin with. I think we need to be careful that we don't look at the situation we're in today and we say, as, and I don't want to make this message political, but we look around it and we see, we condemn women for getting out of place. Because I think a lot of it comes right back on the shoulders of us as men. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses here and then we're going to go elsewhere in the Bible as well. Look at a lot of different things. Ephesians chapter 5, again, begin reading at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, we think about the relationship between husband and wife, between man and woman. We see a divine plan and purpose. And to find the origin and the creation of woman, we need to go back to Genesis. We're going to do that for a little bit this morning. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. And I want to spend a little bit of time here looking at God's purpose, God's plan for the woman. We all know the story of creation. We know the six-day creation. Most of us would probably be able to say what was created on each day. I'm not sure that I would be able to spell everything out day by day. But in chapter 2, in verse 18, God says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." God looked down on the creation. God looked down on man. And he said, "It's not good for man to be alone." Now, did God look around at all he created, and after he said it is good, and after he said it is very good, did he look down on creation and decide, you know what, there's something missing after all? We could almost get that idea. We could almost get the idea that God created woman as an afterthought. You know what? The man needs something here, and I need to make something for man. But I don't think that's the case, and I'll tell you why. We keep on reading verse 19. It gives a short summary of the creation, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. Here is a short summary of the creation of the living organisms that breathe and have life. And he brought them to Adam. And this is the first time that the name Adam was used, I believe, and it means out of the ground or formed from the ground. He brought all these things to Adam to see what he would call them. And I believe he brought them before Adam for more reason than just giving them names. Adam looked at all these different things. And I'm not sure if he actually named them, or it says here that he called every living creature, and that was the name thereof. So I'm not sure what all Adam saw. I'm not sure why he decided to name an elephant, a grasshopper. Some of those things we can kind of get an idea why, but then in verse 20 it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. I believe that God brought all these things before Adam to help him to realize that there's something that he needs, and it's not fulfilled by all the other creatures on earth. And we see the inordinate affections that people place on creatures of this earth. And I believe these verses right here would speak against that and say that there's a relationship between human beings that can never be filled by any I might be stepping on some people's toes this morning, but I have a problem. I have a problem when people talk to their pets as though they're their children, or talk about their pets as though they're their children. I have an issue with that. Because the Word of God says that there is no relationship between animals and mankind, and that animals can never fill the place that is needed in a human relationship. Yes, they can be. We can enjoy our pets. We can love our pets. We can take care of them. They're animals. We need to keep that in mind. God said, or Adam realized, that there's nothing that fills that void that still existed in his life. And I believe God did this, as I was saying earlier, not that woman was an afterthought, but that man would come to the realization that he needs something that isn't there. Sisters, don't let anybody ever tell you that being a wife and a mother is not a fulfilling and a very valuable position to fill. The world today would have our sisters to believe that they need to go out and be involved in business and do things that would make them look strong and big and great. God created them. God created you for a purpose that cannot be filled by any other creature on this earth. And that is to be a helper, a companion, a confidant, a support that fits the man. I believe when Adam came to the point where he realized that he needs something that can't be supplied by the creation at that point. When God created woman and brought her to him, he was ready to accept that gift. And that's exactly what a woman is. It's a gift. Not only do they fill the place in procreation, but they fill a place in emotional support. They fill a place in being a confidant for their husband or for their even in families. Women fill a place that man could never fill. The compassion that a woman has toward a child. The insight that the kind and tender heart of a woman has into situations that we as men would probably be hard-hearted towards because of our toughness and because of our masculine way of doing things. A woman is not an afterthought, but to fill a void that man realized after he had viewed all of creation. Creation of woman was by God. And you need to keep that in mind, sisters. That God created you. You were a specific creation. You weren't something that was lumped together with a bunch of other things on a certain day of creation. And it's interesting to note what God used to create woman. Man, he formed out of the dust of the earth. When he formed woman, he took a rib out of the side of man. God didn't need anesthesia. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he performed that operation. And when Adam woke up and God presented woman to him, he knew exactly where she came from. He understood that. God didn't take a bone out of the man's head or out of his foot. And there's many analogies we can draw here. You've probably heard some of these in wedding sermons. Arm, sign of protection, a rib near the heart of man to be loved, a rib out of his side for his companion to be there for his support and companionship. Today, as we look at these things, I want you all to realize, sisters, that you're an important creation created by God. Brethren, realize that woman is a gift of God. God given to men. And we do well, brethren, to take the attitude of Adam when God presented Eve to him. He accepted her as part of himself. Ephesians chapter 5 says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. We as men many times are very quick to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And look at those verses that says that a woman is to be submissive to her own husband. And yes, that is scriptural. But we make it a whole lot easier for our wives and sisters to be submissive to the leadership of the husband and the man if we accept them as a gift from God. Turning back to Ephesians, I want to take some time to look at the things that are mentioned here. And it talks about wives submitting. And that word submit is to be in subjection. It means to follow commands, to follow leadership. Sisters, that you find your rest in God as you find your place in submission and leadership the way God has designed it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God spells out to us the order of headship. And we all know that that order is God, Christ, man, and woman. And that's oftentimes how we look at it. We look at it as steps downward. But sisters, you fill a very important role if we look at it as steps upward. You fill a place in this world in pointing people, especially children, to God, beginning with you as an example. Probably the first impression that children get of love and care is from a woman. It's from their mother. And that is the beginning of their step and their journey toward God. Fathers provide the leadership and direction. Jesus Christ provides the salvation for us all to reach God. And I believe we need to be careful lest we look at women as the bottom step, because they are the first step many times in directing children to God. But the order of headship is designed by God, and we all, not just you as sisters, but we as brethren, find our peace and our joy in finding our place in that order of headship and doing, fulfilling that place as God has called us to. Looking at the responsibilities that we all have. God here says that he wants the woman to be subject to the man as The church is to Christ. Sisters, you find yourself in a position where you can rest in the leadership, the love, and the protection of the husband. Because God has placed them there to do just that for you. Not to just rule over you, not to just be a tyrant, not to just use you for their end goals, but you can rest in that submission because God has designed and created a head for you that he knows can do the job because he has provided the tools that are needed to do that job. Sometimes I know there's struggles in submission. You know, every one of us is called to submission. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And sometimes it's hard to be submissive. And I'm just taking some of these examples from my own feelings because I don't know what all you experience. But sometimes we struggle, or you struggle, to submit because you feel unloved. Shame on us, brethren, if that's the case. Are you willing to confess? Are you willing to take the time? Maybe there is no real reason why your wife should feel unloved. Maybe there's some misunderstanding. Maybe there's something that she looked at the wrong way. Brethren, we have a responsibility. Maybe sometimes it's hard to be submissive when you think your husband is being selfish. He's only doing things that are for his own good. He's not taking me into consideration. Those things happen too. When the husband is not giving proper leadership, you find a problem with submission. And there are times in life that we as husbands fail in leadership. We don't take our place. Maybe you have issues with submission when your husband, after not taking your advice, not listening to what you said, makes a mistake, makes a poor choice, and you suffer the consequences right along with him. Maybe you have a hard time. Maybe you struggle with submission in financial matters. Maybe in child training and discipline. You know, sad to say, none of your husbands are perfect. I know my wife didn't get one, and I doubt that any of you got a perfect husband. Because I know some of your husbands, very well. And even I can see they're not perfect. But the Bible calls you to submission and respect. Respect his counsel and judgment. You know, there's many times that I asked my wife for some input, and as many times that she gave me input that I didn't ask for. And when I made a bad decision, made a mistake, made a poor choice, she would have had all the right in the world to say, I told you so. You can just listen. I told you so. But she didn't. Way, in a way of respecting my authority, in love, she explained to me what I should have known. God provided you as a help meet for us. Titus 2:4, and I see my time is coming to a close here, but Titus 2:4 says that one of the things that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women is to be keepers at home, to love their children, and to love their husbands. I say one of the things, some of the things. But one of the things is to love their husband. You know, we all need to get ourselves out of the way in order to love sacrificially. And that's what God is calling us to. To love sacrificially, being willing to give. And in order for me to love like that, in order for you, sisters, to love your husbands like that, you need to get yourself out of the way. Just as we as men need to get ourselves out of the way to show love to you. Truly giving up to Christ, going back to the first sermon that I had in this series, was relationships, relationship with God. We in our homes, and especially sisters, since we're talking to you this morning, in the home, you cannot fulfill your place unless you've given yourself to Christ Jesus. Your character, we say in the wedding vows, in your character, and I can't repeat it all really sure, we could probably repeat the whole line, but your husband rests in your character. Sisters, your faithfulness, your support, your commitment, your love to your husband gives him confidence when he goes out of the world. Gives him stability. It gives him peace knowing that he can leave home and not have to worry about what he's doing. There's many men in this world. Keepers at home. The world today looks down on women who stay at home and raise children. But as we see the conditions in the world today, we begin to realize that there's individuals in secular world today that are beginning to realize that one of the problems in the world today is because children didn't have parents, and especially mothers, cared for them. Back in 2020, when all the riots were going on, there was one woman that had told her son he's not to be a part of that. And she discovered that he was. And the video of her going out and hunting up her son on the front lines of a riot and grabbing him by the collar and dragging him out went viral. Not because of her violence, because she wasn't. She was only doing what a good mother would do, and that is to go and save save her son from a situation like that. But that video went viral, and many people made a comment that if there would be more mothers and fathers who would do that, our nation would be on better footing. People in this world are beginning to realize the value of a mother that stays at home and raises her children, not just lets them grow up. Sisters, you serve a very important place in God's plan. Don't let anybody ever degrade you and cause you to think that you're just the chief cook and bottle washer. Yes, that's one of your jobs. And we as a matter of fact know that. But that may be one of the least of your duties. God created you to be a help meet a man. And as you find the fulfillment, and your satisfaction, and your joy in fulfilling the calling that God has called you to, you will be blessed. And your children will rise up and call you blessed. Now we're going to take the time and read the verses out of Proverbs 31, but I'm not going to. You all know what that says. And many of you feel like it's a calling that you can't attain. God has called you for a purpose. Each one of you in your place, whether you're married, whether you're single,